Good morning to everybody. And good morning to those that are online. How many do we have online this morning? You know, it's important for us to be able to get the Word of God out. I'm always concerned about those even online because I want them to hear what God is saying to the church. A lot of times people don't realize that they're part of a church. We're not talking about buildings. You know, we're not talking about, you know, this is an edifice. It's nice that we meet here. But this is not what God talks about when he talks about the church. The church is here. The church is individuals. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, Zion, thou art my people. You know, we think about Mount Zion, don't we? We think about the mountain of God outside of Jerusalem. But actually, when God speaks about that, when he talks about Zion, in other words, Zion is the place of his chosen people. It's the place where they gather together. So he turned around and he changed it and said, Zion, thou art my people. So you're Zion. You're the Zion he's looking for. And it's the mountain of God where Moses went to Mount Sinai. Remember when Moses went to Mount Sinai, received the law? Remember the story that the people said, well, Moses, you're always going and talking to the Lord. Why don't you let us talk to him? So Moses said, okay, we'll set it up. I'm paraphrasing. And they brought him to the mountain there, and God warned him ahead of time. He said, if you don't come right, this thing's going to happen to you if you touch this mountain and you're not right. So they backed up. Because you know what? They knew they weren't right. What did Israel always have a problem with? Believing God. They always had a problem in believing God. So what started happening, there was a thunder and lightning and earthquakes and darkness and all kinds of stuff, fire at the top of the mountain. And they're looking at all of this. And they back up some more. They move away some more. But what did Moses do? He went in and entered right into that. He went up on top of the mountain. It didn't faze him because he knew the power of God. Anybody remember the story when Moses said, Lord, let me see you. I want to see you. And God said, if I show you me in my glory, you would die. You would die. But he said, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you see a little hinder part of me. All that means is just a little bit of my glory. And that glory passed by, and guess what happened? Rocks flew up, earthquakes, power, wind, whatever. That was just from that little bit. And Moses said, thank you, Lord. That's all it took. But see, Moses had been in the presence of that, right? So he was not afraid to go to the mountaintop. When the people saw all of that, did they get a wrong thought? They got a wrong thought. You know what they thought? They said, God brought us out here to kill us. You're my chosen people, so I'm going to bring you to the mountain to kill you. That they had the wrong perception of God. God wanted to show them his power, sure enough, but for the purpose of what? Putting the fear of the Lord in them so they could follow God. The big problem was that they never believed. They didn't enter into the promised land, it tells us in the New Testament, because of unbelief. People do a whole lot of things in churches. They come, they do all kinds of things. You know, we just like we have our little thing here this morning. And some people go to church to be entertained. Some people go to church because someone's going to take a key and speak a certain way, you know, or whatever. They have a personality that draws. That's not what God said. Jesus drew people by his Spirit. He said, no one can come unto the Father except by me. And how is that going to happen? That's going to be the drawing of the Father, the drawing of God. Do you know why you're here? God drew you. You know why you're here? You're the chosen people of God. What does it say in Revelations? You're called, chosen, and faithful. That's what it says. Those that have not joined in, you know what you're free to do today? Join us. Join the church of God right now. You're able to join that and hear the truth of God's word. Not phoniness, not a religious precept, but actually hearing the word of God so that God can do something for you. You know what? There's something that people are neglecting in this day. They are neglecting the truth. You know, God's truth is important, but they're neglecting that. They'd rather have, let me show you one thing that's changed a whole lot. People say, seed into this ministry, put a seed in. And you know what they're talking about? A dollar bill. They're talking about how much money you can put in, you know? And that's not the seed that God talks about. If you go to Luke 8 and 11, I believe that's where it's at. It says the seed is the word of God. That's what it says. Seed's never been a dollar bill, but seed is the word of God. So if it's the word of God, it goes back to that other scripture we know so well. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Or the word became God is what that last part of that is. Doesn't God want to become what he's supposed to be in us? That's the thing that's important. What is that scripture, Ernest? Is it Luke 17 and 20? Is that where it's at? Luke 17 and 20, you know, he talks about the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. And that they're going to say, here, low is it here, low it is there. He said, that's not it. He said, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Did you ever hear that the kingdom of God is here? Oh, no. The kingdom of God is building 10 more churches out here. The kingdom of God has sent somebody across the waters and evangelizing somebody. And what did the scripture say about that? By the time they're evangelized, they're a twofold child of hell worse than what they were before because the truth is not being preached to them. It's a big difference in preaching truth and preaching what men preach. So it's a very important thing to understand what God is talking about in this day. So how many of you realize that the kingdom of God was within you? This is where the kingdom of God is. And so I'm going to shock you again a little bit. This is where heaven is. This is where the celestial realm is. This is where God wanted to work in man, was within a man, not without. Sometimes we concentrate so much on what's going on in this world, we forget that it's an inward walk. This is what God wants us to understand. It's where your heart is. It's how you think. You know, even when we say heart, are we talking about this thing that beats and puts blood out in your body? The heart is the center of your mind and your will, where your thoughts come from. But why does God typify it to a heart? Because out of the heart come the issues of life. That's what the scripture tells us. The issues of life come out of the heart. Literally, it does in this presence, in this too, doesn't it? If your heart doesn't beat and that blood doesn't go through there, and if it's not oxygenated, what happens to you? You die, don't you? Well, what God is telling us, it says the heart that I'm concerned about is the heart where you think, where you reason, where you understand. That's the heart I'm after. The heart I'm after understands me, understands the Spirit of God, understands the Word of God. That's the heart I'm after. And that happens through your thoughts. Do you know that God is more concerned about how you think than about what you do? We worry so much. Oh, maybe I did this wrong. Maybe I did that wrong, whatever. That's not what God's worried about. What he wants to get inside of you is, how is your thought? How do you think? How do you think about my word? How do you think about me? Even how do you think about yourself? How many of us from time to time have thought of ourselves in a bad way? Have you ever thought about yourself in a bad way? Ah, I'm no good. I messed up. I did this. I did that. Hey, I hate to tell you this, but God knew you were that way. Why did he come and die on the cross if it wasn't for that? Why did he come and shed his blood if it wasn't for that? He already knew you were messed up. He already knew you thought wrong. God knew that already. So why did he come then? To change your heart. Change your thoughts. Isn't that powerful? He wants to change how you think about others and how you think about yourself. And the biggest thing he wants to change in you is how you think about him. Oh, yeah. He's the God that sits on the throne. He has a long white beard and he has a lightning bolt in his hand. And if you mess up, he's going to send that lightning bolt down and kill you and wipe you off the face of the earth. That's not the God that I serve. I don't serve that God. I don't. That's not God. In 1 John, it says that God is what? What is God? What does he say in 1 John? Anybody can tell me? 1 John, it's what? God is love. That's what he is. God is first love more than anything else. And then what else? He's love. He says something else about himself. I am God and I change not. I am God and I'm what? I have all power in heaven and earth in my hand. I am God and I'm the creator. I am God. Oh, the one that loves you. I am God that brings you rest. I'm the God that delivers you. I'm the God that covers sin. I'm the God that takes pride from you. I'm the God that takes sin from you. I'm the God that sent my son into the world to die so that you wouldn't have to die. I'm that God. I love you enough that I sent another sacrifice for you. Wow. Is this a Mother's Day message? Of course it is. It's a Mother's Day message. You know why? Now let me explain something to you. The understanding of God is more important than anything you can believe. Wisdom and understanding are what God wants us to have concerning him. Man has taught us, religion has taught us so wrong throughout this world. How many of you grew up in religion and realized that some of the things you were told were lies, that it didn't work out, that it wasn't like what they said? But here's the thing. Somebody's got to be true. Somebody's got to be right. To walk in the truth is a great thing. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Didn't he say that? So if you walk in Jesus, will you follow truth? So truth is important to the point that salvation is geared to it. You don't walk in truth, you don't get saved. It's very simple. If you walk in falsehood, you get led off away from the truth. Isn't that true? My wife talked about mothers today. How many of you remember your mothers correcting you because you did something wrong? All the time. And they did that because they loved you. They tell you, don't go out in the street. A car will hit you there. But you would disobey. You say, Mama's not looking. I'm going to go play in the street. And then she saw you. Uh-oh. Come here. Uh-huh. And what would happen? Anybody remember what would happen? Uh-huh. And then you learned, you say, I'm not going back out in the street anymore, right? Don't touch the fire on the stove. Mom's not in there. She's cooking on the stove. She went to do something and stuck those little fingers up there. And oh, ow. And then she's standing there looking at you and she says, what did I tell you? I told you not to do that because I knew it would hurt you, right? What do you think God is like? Can God be typified to a mother? Yeah, he can. Let me tell you something. There's a scripture I'm going to read to you now. You may not understand all of it, but it's very important that you listen to how I explain this to you. I'm going from Galatians 4:22. Listen to this. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he that of the free woman was born by promise. Do you realize you were born by promise? If you know God, you believe God, you're following God, you're born by a promise. What was the promise? God said that if you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. How many of us are burdened down by the things that we've done in this world or by what's going on in the world? Have you been burdened down? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Did you mess up at one time? Did you do something wrong? Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. and you shall find what for your souls? You're going to find some rest for your soul. Everybody in this world is searching for something. They're trying it all kinds of different ways. We idolize people. Isn't there a show on TV called American Idol? Isn't it called that? Why would you want to call yourself an idol? You know what idols were? Those were things that opposed God. Something you believed in other than God. But we're after so much. We want to be rich. We want to be famous. We want to be this. We want to be that. I want to be like this person. I want to be like that one. Don't want to be like nobody else. Except who? Jesus. You don't want to be like anybody else except Jesus. Man doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. Why would you want to be like them? Any man or woman in this earth. You don't want to be like them. You want to be like the one that made the earth, Jesus. That's a little bit better, isn't it? I want to be like the one that created me. I want to be like the one that made everything that's in me. I want to be like that. I want to have the heart that he has. I want to have the mind that he has. I want to walk like he walked. I want to talk like he talked. Isn't it true? So I'm reading to you about something that happened under the law. Now listen to this. And I talked about Abraham before the law, really, and then through the law and then out of it. But he said, he that is of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? Is that a parable? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai. Didn't I tell you about Mount Sinai a little while ago? The people wanted to be there with Moses, the fire and all the stuff up there. That's where he received the Ten Commandments, was Mount Sinai. But then there's another mount that he wants us to know about. This other mount is outside of Jerusalem. And when I say Jerusalem, do not think about that rock pile 8,000 miles away over that we call Israel today. Don't think of that one. That's not Jerusalem. That's a city that's named after what God said. Let me tell you what the true Jerusalem is. Listen to this, and it'll tell you. For this Agar, that's the person that God used to make Ishmael, the ones that opposed God, that came out, that lineage that opposes God. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, oh, wait a minute. I thought it was 8,000 miles away, across the seas over there, and you go to Israel and where Egypt and Gaza and all that is. I thought that was Jerusalem. Listen again. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. This is the part I want you to get from what I'm reading. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. What does that mean? What does it mean? Very powerful. Jerusalem means double peace. Double the peace. It also means city of peace. It also means city of God. So it's telling you that Jerusalem isn't here, huh? It's above. So is it a spiritual place in God? Think about what it means now. Double peace, city of God, the understanding of God, which is the mother of us all. Wow. So how can that Jerusalem above be the mother of us all? Because it's the church. It's the body. It's the bride. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells me. Okay, let's read something else. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. I want to show you something. Now, we read this all the time. Whether we understand it or not is something we need to search ourselves for. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is the promise of what God's going to do. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Oh, so where's Jerusalem? Above, in heaven. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And here's the one part I like the best. And God shall wipe away all tears. Remember every hurt you've ever had. Remember every bad thing that ever happened to you. The times you had to cry. The times you felt alone. All of that. God says, you're my people. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to wipe all those tears from your eyes. Now you have hope. Now you know there's a place that you're going to where all tears will be wiped away. You know what God's doing? He said, just hold on to me. Walk as I walk. Do as I do. Speak the way I speak. And one day you will be with me in this place. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Gosh, no more sorrow? No more crying, Patty. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. You won't have pain anymore. Wow. You know what the worst pain is, huh? We think it's when we hurt ourselves or we have a disease or something. We think that's the worst pain, right? What if I told you the worst pain is how you think? What if I told you, have people say, I don't want to go to hell. What if I told you you've been in hell? I have. You know what was happening to me during that time? I was tossing and turning on my bed. I was tormented by my thoughts. Everything seemed to be going wrong. I looked at myself as the worst thing on two feet. Everything was going wrong. Everything was bad. And my brain couldn't hardly take it. And what happened was, there was a torment that was so hard, I said to myself, I'd rather have someone stab me or do something else than to have this pain that I have in my mind right now. Have you ever been there? Guess what that was? That was hell. God gave you a little experience of it so you would understand you don't want to go there and be in a place like that permanently. Does that make sense? He'll give you a little bit of it. Now, David says something that's very important. He said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. So would Jesus be there if you decide to change your heart and your mind? Would he be right there in hell with you so that he could take you out of that place? Oh, yeah. David said, and he meant, he said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Whew. There's no place that Jesus isn't. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. So you mean when I'm in my darkness and I'm in hell and I'm tormented, is Jesus there? Yes, he is. That's why he's called the Savior, because he saves you from those things. And in order to be a Savior, he has to be in it with you. Remember the Hebrew boys? They cast him into the fiery furnace. Didn't they do it? And the king came down there and he looked. He said, did we not cast three men into the furnace? And they said, yeah, O king. He said, well, then who's this fourth one? Who's the fourth one? And God gave him a revelation of who it was. This one appears like the Son of God. Whew. How could a heathen king know that? God gave it to him so he would know that God is above him. Amen. And that no matter what he did, he made the furnace even hotter, didn't he? No matter what he did as a king, it still can't top God. And so he looked in and he saw it and he said, look at that. He appears like the Son of God. Bring those boys out. And when they came out, their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't burned. Nothing had happened to them. And the king looked at that and he said, ooh. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to start worshiping the God of these three Hebrew boys. Any God that can do that and bring them out, and they're not burned, and I made the fire seven times hotter, and they're not singed, and they're not touched. Wow. God was showing his power, wasn't he? God will always have power over what men do here, no matter how great it is. No matter how great. I was looking at something the other day, and it was funny to me. All of you have heard of Mount Everest, right? The highest mountain in the world in the Himalayas. They're going to send a team up this year to clean up all the mess that's up on the Himalayas. So many people tried to climb up there. There are dead bodies up there of the ones that didn't make it. And they have camps up there and tents and heaters and stoves and all kinds of stuff. Because when the people come back down, they just leave everything there. And so, you know, for a great time, people said, well, why do you climb Mount Everest? And people said, because it's there. It's a great accomplishment. Okay, what does that do for you? Some of them died trying to do it. Others left all of their worldly goods up there. And they got to send a team up there to clean up all the mess to come back down to allow others to climb up there and die and leave their stuff. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. What's the big fascination? Me? I like to look at mountains. I don't have to climb every one of them, especially the tallest one in the world. We have to wear an oxygen mask just to breathe to go up to the top. You experience that for me and tell me about it, okay? Because I don't have to do that. But isn't that silly that people are doing things like that just to get the world to claim that they climbed Mount Everest? And they're going to bring all those dead. They think there's about 15 to 20 dead bodies up there that have been preserved by the snow. They've been up there for a long time. So, yeah, they tried. They tried. You know what those Sherpas tell people? The ones that carry all the stuff, those servants, those people over there that do that on a regular basis. You know what they tell them? I said, don't do that. Don't climb that mountain. We've lived here for centuries, and we know what happens to people when they climb up there. You know, so they said, don't climb that mountain. Don't waste your time. But people with all that money and all that time and all that effort and say that they can do it and they want to be something great in the world. I climbed Mount Everest. So they come there and they say, okay, we'll take your money and we'll help you up there. But we only go so far. We'll let you go to where you want to go at the top. And if you die up there, we are not coming after you. When you die, we're just going to go back down. Now, one day, they're going to get this whole group up there. They're going to use helicopters and everything. They're not doing it just by climbing. And they're going to clean up all that mess that's up there and bring the bodies down for the loved ones that have missed them all that time. Oh, we know where they're at. But bring them down. What good did it do you? Somebody tell me what good that does you. Just to say you climbed a mountain? I tell you what I want to climb. I want to climb Mount Zion. I want to climb the mountain of God. And the only way I can do that is if I live spiritually and God takes me to heaven to be with him. Because that's really where Mount Zion is. It's the place where Jesus stood on. And I can go there and I can climb it every day and not have to worry about nothing. Does that make sense, Patty? That would be cool, wouldn't it? Also, I could be in Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. So remember I told you that this mother that we read about in Galatians, so what does it turn out to be? It turns out to be the new Jerusalem. Is it a bride? Is it a female? Yes. Is it the church of God? Is it what Christ gave his life for? Was for the church. Isn't that what he gave his life for? And the reason he gave his life is so that everything can be taken back to the Father, to God. And one day, overcoming all things, guess what happens? That city comes down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. Wow. Are we the church that's married to Christ? Yes, we are. And there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, it says. There's going to be a party, a reception. Isn't that true? But in this reception, it's a gathering together of God's people to rejoice about being saved and having company with God himself. I would rejoice about that, wouldn't you? In fact, I'd probably dance about that. I'd probably dance and rejoice and holler and scream, I made it! And I'm with God. That's the greatest of all, guys. Nothing here on this earth can compare to it. So why did I write up there, Mother of us all? Because that's the new Jerusalem which is above. And guess what it is? It's the understanding of God, the church. The church that's going to be the bride of God. And you want to be part of that church. Because once it comes out of that heaven and descends back to the earth, guess what it turns into? That new city that it talks about where you walk on streets of gold. Ah, That city where there's no sun anymore, where do you get your light from? Jesus is going to be there and he's going to bring the light. Oh, wait a minute. What are the gates made out of? Well, they're made out of pure pearl and there's 12 of them. Oh, you get to see those too. Wait a minute. So what's holding the whole thing up? Well, there's 12 foundations under there, which are the 12 apostles in spirit holding up the whole city of Jerusalem. Whew. Streets of gold. And then they said there's so many different types of precious stones and jewels, diamonds and onyx and everything you can think, rubies, whatever. And it's all throughout the city. Is it a spiritual city? Yes, it is. When I say those diamonds and stuff, don't think of natural. God's talking about precious jewels. You know who the precious jewels are? The ministry that helped get you there. They're precious jewels. And that's why the whole city's on that foundation of the ones that gave their lives to bring you into salvation, to preach the gospel to you every week, in and out, teach lessons, whatever. Does that make us greater than you? No, it just gives us more responsibility. Does that make sense? Where are you going to learn these things? Huh? There's a scripture in Romans chapter 10. We'll probably end with this. This is cool. If I'm in the right spot. Now listen to this. I'm going to start at verse 13, 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just calling. Sometimes it's when you're a little kid and you're raised up in the church. You hear the word of God, don't you? You sure do. And it saves you. It brings you to a place. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Oh, so you got to believe first? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Do you have to hear about this thing? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Oh, so what's my job? I got to give it to you, don't I? What God gives me, I got to give you. Does that make sense? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Wait a minute. So did God send us to do what we're doing? Did he send us, Ernest? Yes. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you sit here and listen to me, do you realize faith is being built in you? Faith cometh by hearing. Are you hearing me? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So what are we preaching to you today? Word of God. Are we teaching you that Jerusalem is above and that it's the mother of us all? That it's the understanding of God that gets us to that place. Mother's Day. I love this mother above us all, this Jerusalem that brings me understanding. Comes from the celestial realm by the Spirit of God through me and I speak it. Does that make me some great person? No. I'm just a vessel being used. I was telling you about that. We don't like being used by people, do we? Somebody comes up and uses you for their own means. That's not good, huh? But what about if God uses you? Oh, that switches everything. That's different then, isn't it? What did Paul say? I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You think he wanted out of that prison? No way. I want to be wrapped up and tied up and tangled all up in Jesus. Let me be a prisoner of Christ. Because that's the best thing to be. And I'll walk. Where he guides me, I'll go. Where he tells me to go, I'll go. Where he tells me to speak, I'll speak. I want to be pleasing to him and serve my time while I'm here serving God. And when he releases me, guess where I go? To heaven, to be with him eternally. Isn't that a good thing? Very good thing. So, realize you have the understanding of God, who is the mother of us all. You're part of the New Jerusalem. You're that city, that bride that Christ died for. You may not understand all of what I said today, but you know what? That's why we're here. Can I talk to you, PK? Sure, let's make an appointment. Let's talk. Can I talk to you, Ernest? Sure, let's make an appointment. Let's talk. We got a deacon and an elder here. Let's make an appointment. Let's talk. We'll talk. Isn't that true? I'm going to tell you something else that might be there too. Their wives might be there when they're talked to, because they have a great thing that they can put in from the other side. Isn't that great? It'll work. Good stuff. Anybody have any questions for me this morning? Good to see our daughter here this morning. Oh, she's not my literal daughter, but she grew up in this church. Good to see Deli here this morning. Make it a habit, Deli. Make it a habit. Good to see my son here this morning. I'm going to say the same to him, too. Make it a habit. Let's get used to it. You know, isn't that cool? That's good stuff. Sister Lucia, you're going to be spending time with your mom today, right? Yeah, for Mother's Day. The reason I said that is because I would say she's our newest here, huh? Would you say that? So we always want to make sure that we keep an eye out for her, make sure things are going good for her, right? Same for Erica and Manuel, too. And them boys, you know, you can always know when they're around. Those two boys, they're working on stuff. You know how I know it? Because they get together with my granddaughter, and the next thing you know, they're doing stuff. I don't know what it is, but they got to get active fast. And so they're doing stuff. I saw them over there a little while ago. They got to make up something, do something. They got to be that way. You just observe them, don't you? Yeah. That's just the way it has to be. I love that. I love it. I love it. So this is good stuff this morning, guys. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, every one of you. And realize this, God is blessing us, guys. He's bringing us into a unity. And guess what? We are going to be one. Because isn't that what God wants? A unity of the faith. We're going to be a one.